It's a big honor to be speaking here. I have a tremendous, tremendous ava for your yeshiva. We learned together in yeshiva and Yadid Nafshi. I really feel very close to him, even though we've been separated for a number of years. And he asked me today to speak about Moshe Shapiro, and I just couldn't refuse the opportunity. Probably most of you never met Rav Moshe Shapiro. Here's a picture of the Rav. But I had a great, great privilege to have. You know, we'll leave it here. So, see that? A great privilege to be connected with the Rav. Before I speak about the Rav, I want to start off with a question. We just finished Hanukkah. They gave you off here for Hanukkah? You get off? No? Oh, just keep going here. But you can still feel Hanukkah in the air. I was traveling to the north at the beginning of the week. I had to get to the north. And all throughout the way, I saw these Chabad menorahs, big Chabad menorahs. And even if you look around now, you go into shuls, some of them still have their menorahs out. And L'maisa, we still feel Hanukkah in the air. During this time, there's three fasts that Chazal were kaveya. And many people don't realize that, but this Friday is Aseret B'Teves. Aseret B'Teves is really three fasts rolled into one. Anyone know? Anyone know what the three fasts are? You know? L'maisa, the 8th of Teves is a fast on the translation of the Torah into Greek. The 9th of Teves is the yard site of Ezra at Tzaddik. And the 10th of Teves, we know, is the beginning of the Chorban. And it always seemed to me very interesting that this comes right after Hanukkah. Right after Hanukkah, really, on a normal year, 8 days after Hanukkah, we have this fast of Aseret B'Teves, which is these three fasts rolled into one. So I'm going to speak about this a little bit. I'm going to give you some time while I'm speaking to think about this idea. And I think we'll understand it a little better when I finish. What's the connection between these three fast days, which are rolled into one? We have a very unique fast this year. It comes out on Friday. Speak first about the 9th of Teves. The 9th of Teves is the yard site of Ezra. And the reason Chazal were made a fast on the 9th of Teves is because a tzaddik, when we lose a tzaddik, it's not just that somebody died. You know, somebody dies, of course that's a reason to be sad. But when a tzaddik is nifter, it's much, much more than that. We mentioned that last time. Tzaddik yisoid olam. The tzaddik literally brings the shefa. He connects us to the higher worlds of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I remember the first time that I met Rav Moshe Shapiro. I think I might have mentioned that last time I spoke. My wife and I, during our Shana Rishona, we had a tremendous number of tzaras. My father-in-law was nifter right before we got married. And then I went to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and I was almost killed there by bandits, and just one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, meningitis and pneumonia, and then I was in a big car accident. Many, many tzaras. And I went to Rav Moshe Shapiro, and I asked him, you know, Rebbe, like, it's a lot of tzaras. So he said to me like this, in Hebrew, his Hebrew was very, very poetic and very exquisite way of speaking. In fact, I think every single encounter I had with him, I still remember it today. Because, you know, when you speak to somebody, you just sit and schmooze with somebody, it doesn't necessarily make an impact on you. To make an impact on a person, you have to speak with all your heart, and really the two people connect on a really deep level. And he said to me like this. He said, "Anachnu lo mevakshim nisyonot." He said, "Aval al tivater al af echad mehem." He said, "We don't ask for tests. We don't ask for nisyonos. You're not allowed to ask for nisoyin because you might not pass." You know, David HaMelech asked for nisoyin. He wanted to be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem said, look, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they had big tests. Right? So David says, okay, what do they say? Hit me with your best shot. And he didn't do as well as he would have liked to. We're not allowed to say that David was chayte. I have a friend of mine I grew up with. Every 7 years, I know he's going to call me up. When Daf Yomi gets to the Gemara about David being Chote, he called me and says, yeah, David, he was Chote. I say, no, he says, David wasn't Chote. Right? So this is what Moshe Shapiro told me. He says, we don't ask for nisyonot. Aval al tivater al af echad mihem. Yeah? And there was so much depth in the words that he said. Right? Because we all get tested. We all have nisyonos. We all have things that don't work out for us or we're not happy with. You know, we might wind up in a shir that we don't like. Can anyone? No, I won't ask that. It's too personal. Right? Or maybe a roommate. You know, maybe your roommate snores, or maybe he's messy, or maybe like, you know, we have nisyonos. I remember there's another yard sale coming up in a couple of weeks. My Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Brevda, he told me the story when he got to Panovich. He had a roommate, and his roommate took all his clothes and threw them on the floor, and he used to smoke cigarettes in his face. I went to the Talmud. I took him into the kol because his wife begged me to, because they were holding by a divorce. And he used to smoke cigarettes right in my face, like that. And that happened to Rav Brevda. He went to Rav Chatzka Levenstein, and Rav Chatzka Levenstein told him, he said, you know, I'm very happy to hear this. You know, this will really, you know, make a man out of you, as it were. Right? Okay, that's aside. But this is what Moshe Pira told me. He says, we don't ask for nisyonot. Aval al tivater al af echad mihem. And the omik advarim, the deeper meaning of what Rav Moshe Pira was saying, was that Hashem sends every single test to us for a reason and to help us grow and to lift us up. And if you get upset when Hashem tests you, then you blew it. Yeah? If you really want to excel and elevate yourself in life, you have to have tests. And Hashem sends you tests. You're not allowed to ask for tests, right? We said David and Melech made a mistake. But you really have to accept. So that's what he said. Al tivater al af echad mehem. Don't be mavater on them. Cherish them, use them, grow. And like, you have to understand, like, it was a crazy time for me and my wife. Like, we every single week, we didn't know what was going to go wrong next. But he instilled within us so much strength, just from a few words. Right? And that was really Rav Moshe Shapiro's whole essence. Right? He knew exactly what to say, when to say, and how to say it. That even 25, 30 years later, it's still ringing in my ears, and I could still feel it. And it changed my whole being every time I had an experience with him. I remember when my daughter was in Shaduchim, we were having a little bit of a difficult time. We had a difficult Nisoyan. And I went to him. He used to daven every morning at the Kosel. And I went to speak to him. And he listened to me very carefully. And he said, I want to tell you, your situation is absolutely impossible. There's no way at all to deal with such a, I said, oh, great, thanks. You know, it's really nice to hear that. And then he stops for a second and thinks. He says, "Rak tefillah v'zeh vaday yazor." The only thing that can help you is tefillah, and it for sure will work. So look at the brilliance in a few words what he did. First of all, he took me to the deepest depths of despair. He tells me there's absolutely no hope, you know. Everyone I had spoken to all then said, you know, this, hopefully things will work out, this, that, the other. But he was very blunt with me. It was really a hard situation. Yeah, there was someone in the world, someone saying Lashon Hara about us, and we had no idea who it was, and we had no idea what to do. And it seemed every single time my daughter had a shidduch offer, they somehow wound up this person. It was a very difficult nisoyan. He said, your situation is out. He took us to the deepest, deepest depths of despair. And from the deepest depths of despair, he lifted us all the way up. And he said, tefillah, this will sure help you. When you have a Rebbe who knows how to talk like that, right, that can only come from a complete mastery of Kol HaTorah Kuloi, that it changes you as a person and gives you the ability to communicate in a way that your words are heard in a very, very powerful way, right? Chazal tell us, when you dvar ma yotzim min alev, nichnasim alev. If I speak to you passionately, I was in the north this week, and I met a guy. He said, yeah, you spoke to us 20 years ago. I spoke in MTJ, and I still remember it today. You know, I don't remember. I vaguely remember speaking there. But when you speak passionately, when you speak from the heart, then that goes in. If you speak superficially, it doesn't go in. And this is really, Rav Moshe Shapiro said this, I mean, I was heard it many hundreds of times. The biggest problem today is that, you know, I remember growing up with Rabbi Center when I were in yeshiva, we had something called an asimon. Does anyone know what an asimon is? You could buy them like in the antique stores, right? I remember Moshe Meisman was a Rashiva. He used to say, the Israelis think they know how to run an army. He said, they can't even make a phone that works. They think they won all these wars. Yeah, yeah. You had this phone, and you put the Asimon in, and then you said a Kapitel Tehillim, because hopefully like your call was going to go through. You know, and the girls, they were smart. They put on their hair, and they like, every time they just kept lifting it up, whatever it is. So the Asimon, you know, went in. And now, today, like, you know, if you tell people about, I was in New York, and I was walking in the street, and there was a guy telling his kid, yeah, there used to be this thing called like a payphone, and you put money in, you know, and you could see it in the Museum of Natural History. They still have one. But today, like, everyone has phones, and not only phones, but they have smartphones or maybe dumb phones or whatever type of phones they have. And, you know, they have email, and they have WhatsApp, and they have this and this and this. There's so many ways to communicate today, right? There's so many ways. You could communicate with people with tons and tons of ways. But how many people are really talking? Right. When you talk to someone, you know, you go to a point with someone, and he's busy, like, you know, someone told, can I pick this up when I get in trouble? Right. Someone told me they were at a restaurant, you know, when they used to be open, and there was a couple sitting there, and they were just, like, across, and they were just, you know, texting, I don't know, each other, you know, which we order, you know, whatever, or they were texting other people. You could have two people sitting together and just not communicating, right? And this is what Ramon Shapiro was fighting against this, yeah? This is the world that we live in, all this communication. But when you communicate, it has to be real communication. When you communicate to someone, don't just say a lot of words. Yeah? You could sometimes, people could talk and just say, like, a lot of words, you know? Or, like, they're spewing, you know, rubbish from their mouth. Right? When you talk to someone, talking to someone, you know, Uncle says on the Chumash, he says, Ruach Mamalim is Dvar Hashem. When you communicate with another human being, you're connecting to them. Your two neshamas are connecting, right? The Radbaz has a tshuva. He says you're allowed to start a new shul because people don't always connect to the rabbi, you know? And he says there's something deep concept in Kabbalah called Soda Ibor. That when two people get together, the neshamas are actually connecting. You sometimes meet somebody and you really get along with them. That's called Soda Ibor, that your two neshamas are really connected. And this is Ramon Shapiro. When you would talk to him, you were totally with him. And he was like thinking, how can I say something to this person that will change them for the rest of his life? He used to talk like that to individuals and to people and to groups as well. And this is something really, really miyuchad. And this is the first of the... excuse me. Anyone have some water? Get some water. This is the first fast. The ninth of Tevis, the night we're in now, is the Tainit Tzadikim, right? Tainit of Ezra Sofer. There's another fast, which was yesterday, which is the eighth of Tevis. Yeah. Again, these three fasts were rolled into one, and they're all connected, and they all have to do with Hanukkah. The eighth of Tevis was, thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shekol Neim Tzvi. Right. Eighth of Tevis, the Torah was translated into Greek. And in the Masechet Sofrim, which discusses this tainus, it says darkness fell into the world. 3 days of darkness fell into the world. And the question is, what's so bad about translating the Torah into Greek? You know, everyone, I'm sure, anybody here use the Art Scroll Chumash or Art Scroll Siddurim? Yeah, we all use them, right? They're helpful sometimes. So what's so bad about it? And the answer to that is the Torah is so deep. The Torah is infinitely deep. I so want to say for, he shows how all Targ mitzvahs are hinted to in the word Bereishis. And I believe it's the Vilna Gaon says, the entire Torah is in the base and the dot of the base. So entire Torah. The Torah is infinitely deep. I was just telling someone today, when I came to Eretz Israel, I wound up in Tumbo, but someone was trying to convince me to go to Netzach Yisrael, Rav Gusman. And the person who was trying to convince me, he said, you know, Rav Gusman, when we says two shirim a week, one is 4 hours and one is 6 hours. The show one is 4 hours, along with 6 hours. And he said 45 shirim on one tosfos in Ksubas, on Ger Katan. But he said, but he used to say, my Rebbe, Rav Chaim Ozer, yeah, he used to say 8 hours shirim. That was when people had some attention span. Right, 8 hours shirim, And he said 60 or 70 shirim on that same Tosfos. You know, like, and he could probably, he could say hundreds of shirim on the Tosfos, because the Torah is infinitely deep, right? You know, today, if you said one shir or two shirim, people would like, we said, spoke about that yesterday. And that was Rav Moshe Shapiro had a special, special talent to take us into the deepest, deepest depths of the Torah. Places where nobody else could go to show things that were very, very, very deep. And I want to share with you something which really, really impacted me in my life. The Levaya of Rav Moshe Shapiro was on the fast of Aser HaTevis. I remember we were all fasting. And there was the, one of the speakers was Rav Elazar Pilz. He's the Rosh Yeshiva in Tifrah. He said a beautiful idea. The Pasuk says, this called the Mamadaka, that there was a Rash Gadol, and then Hashem appeared in a called the Mamadaka. He says, why does Hashem appear? Called the Mamadaka is the sound of silence, right? The sound of silence. Why does Hashem appear in silence? So he said like this. I remember once we were looking to rent an apartment, and we were looking at a certain building. Said all the neighbors said, don't rent in this building. There's a girls' seminary here. And like they're partying till 2 o'clock in the morning. My niece, by the way, is here in seminary. She told me now like they stay up till 3, 4 in the morning. You know, they don't have to get up for Shema, you know, for davening. But it was like really noisy. But even like a girls' seminary, which is really, really noisy, but like how noisy can it be? You know, like how much noise can these girls make? You know, they could scream at the top of lungs, you know, like girls do, and sing and whatever else. But okay, so you get to 100 decibels, 200 decibels, 300 decibels, there's a limit, right? Silence, on the other hand, is infinite. Silence, there's no limit to silence. Silence is something completely infinite. And that's, you'll find Hashem in the infiniteness of silence. This is what Rav Pilz said. And I remember once, Rav Moshe Shapiro, we had in our kollel a famous Jew, you might have heard of him. His name is Gabi Sasson. He lost 7 children in a fire in Brooklyn. And he was learning by us, and we had a shloshim, and Rav Moshe Shapiro came and spoke, and he spoke about silence. Now, you can imagine a shir about silence, like, what can you say? It's like, and the truth is, during the shir, most of the shir, he didn't speak. He just stood there, and it was silent. And in between, he like said a few things about silence. So someone had one of these tape recorders that goes off when it's quiet. So like 3/4 of the shir didn't come out. And he told afterwards, Sister Moshe Shapiro, he said, you missed the best part of the shir. Right? The silence. And this is what Rav Moshe Shapiro used to say. He said, people know how to talk a lot today. There's a lot of blab, you know, blah, blah, blah. But to be quiet, that's much, much more. To know how to be quiet. And Hashem is found in the silence. All the rash and the noise, and I remember he said once, he said, if you hear a lot of, you know, if you go out there in the coffee room and hear a lot of people speaking together, you know, they're probably not saying the 45 pshatim of Rav Chaim Ozer, of Rav Guzman and Tosos. They're probably like saying some stupid thing, you know, probably. No, am I right? No?
Sure not.
What, Rav Guzman? Yeah, no. He says, when you hear a lot of noise, then that's probably a sign that it's not something which is worth hearing, right? The things which are really worth hearing is called the Mamadaka. And Senator Pilz, Rav Moshe Shapiro knew how to connect us to this called the Mamadaka, to this voice of silence, as it were, right? And it was a very, very special, special talent. I'm really not even doing justice, because he made such an impact on my life, just the times that I spoke to him. But if I leave you with this and you experience it, the next time you're talking to somebody, right, you know, if you know how to be quiet, it's interesting. I was talking to a young married woman recently. She was coming to me for advice, and she gave me a little bit of mussar, you know. She said, you know, you really have to know how to listen. A lot of people today know how to talk, but very few people know how to be silent and really hear what the other person is saying. And especially, Bezrat Hashem, one day all of you will be married. When you're married, you have to listen. You have to know how to listen. And Rav Moshe Shapiro knew how to listen really, really well. He knew how to be quiet. The Maharal says, Lo matzasi leguf tov mishtika. When you're talking, you can't think. Your brain turns off, right? Your body turns on and your brain turns off. So Tamarel says, Lo matzasa the guf tov mishtika. In fact, Ramosh Shapiro used to say a beautiful idea, it still rings in my ears today, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it said it was kaved peh. Kaved peh. So whoever, you know, watched these movies, what was it, Ten Commandments, you know, was it Charlton Heston, I remember, but like he has a bit of a lisp, you know, it's, he burnt his tongue on the coals, right? He stuck the wrong finger in his mouth. But the Maharal says, that's not pshat. The pshat was that Ramosh Rabbeinu's ideas were so deep that he couldn't put them into words. You know, sometimes an idea is so deep and so all-encompassing, it's hard to... And Ramosh Shapiro, like, he had a hard time talking. He was thinking on such a high level, he couldn't get the words out of his mouth because to bring them down into this world, to get them into words, that's like limiting them. But you have sometimes ideas which are so deep that you can't put them into words. And that was... I always just think that was, he was talking about himself. That his ideas were so deep, it was hard to put them into words. Okay, so we spoke about the 8th of Tevis, 9th, the 10th of Tevis was the beginning of the Chorban. And I think I once had the following idea, I really think that is true. On a normal year, this year there was 3 days of, we went 3 days into Tevis. But on a normal year, there's 8 days between the last day of Hanukkah and Asar B'Tevis. And I think the idea is like this. There's three things encapsulated in these three fasts. There's the fact that we had the translation of Torah into Greek, and then we had the Misa of Tzaddikim, and then we had the Tchilas Chorban. If you look at Hanukkah, those are the exact three things that Hanukkah was coming to celebrate. We had the strength of Torah over the Greeks, the victory of the Tzaddikim, and the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash. So the exact three things that Hanukkah represents are revisited, as it were, on these days, right? And the message of Asar B'Tevis is that it's not over yet, right? We didn't finish the battle with Hanukkah. There's still what to do. And there's still what to do in the world. And especially the 9th of Tevis, which is today, which is the yard site of Ezra Sofer, but all Tzaddikim. It's the tiniest tzaddikim of all tzaddikim for all generations. We're zoichet to have a tzaddik like Ramosh Shapiro, who guided us and showed us how deep the Torah really is. And don't, like you said, al tivater lafichan miyam. Don't be mavater. Remember, we always used to say in Kabbalah, it says haklipa kodemus lepri. Before, you know, I remember once I was eating a pomelo. It took me like half an hour to peel it. You know, until you get the peel off and you can eat the fruit, it's like a lot of work. But that's, he said, don't give up on that. You can get to really, really deep, deep understanding of Torah. And that's really where the fruit is. As long as you're just peeling, you know, peel, okay, you can put it in your mouth, it has a little bit of taste, a little bit of smell, but it's not the fruit. If you really want to get to the fruit, then you have to work very hard. And that's how you get to the true depth of Torah. And Ramosh Shapiro took us there. He took us into the deepest, deepest depths of Torah. And that's what Asar B'Tevis is about. Yeah? The Tzaddikim, the Beis Hamikdash, and the ultimate depths of Torah. That's how we can really get a deep, deep understanding of Torah. Now, Lamaisa Rav Moshe, we don't have Ramosh Shapiro. And, you know, we lost a lot of Tzaddikim recently. I know every time I go down Bar Ilan, I just feel, not Bar Ilan, Yirmiyahu, I just feel I was, Rozel Nechemia Goldberg was nifter not so long ago, a few months ago, and Nova Minsky Rebbe was nifter, and it's not Pashit. We have a lot of Tzaddikim from the previous door that have been nifter recently, but I urge you, as I did last time, find a Rav that you can really connect to. Find somebody, and look, the older and the bigger that the Rav is, the more that you're connecting to the Torah of previous generations and the Amkus of Torah, the depth of Torah, right? Rav Center's Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, who's also, I'm very close to, who was our Shadchan, right? Rav Shach said, in the next generation, he's the God of the Dvar, and we're already in the next generation, he's here. We're there already. If you can get a kesher, even a little bit, with these anashim gedolim, Every single word that they say is worth a million words from somebody else, right? And it will change your life. And the reason is because when they talk to you, they're not just talking to you misafu mechutz, superficially. They're connecting themselves to you, and you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that. And it's a very powerful experience. And that's why I could say even 30 years later, these conversations I had with Ramo Shapiro, they still ring in my ears. Because it was a connection. That was a real connection to a tzaddik. And it's a schus to be able to have that experiences. And you should never think, well, you know, I'm a guy from New York. Like, how can I be connected to these great tzaddikim? It's not true. In fact, I know Rav David Koyen, like, he dafka, when he was younger, this was 35 years ago, but he dafka made an effort to connect to Bachram like myself and Rabbi Center, because he really valued that. You know, he really valued the fact that you guys are coming, and I'm sure you had a lot of choices, you know, Harvard, Yale, where else, other places that you turned down to come to Rabbi Center's yeshiva. You know, it's much better choice to come here than Harvard, Yale, at least, you know, at least for now, whatever your plans are, I don't know. But Lamaisa, the Gedolim are welcoming such people, yeah? People like yourself. Because they see the sincerity and the drive, and it's something that you really, it's chaval that you're here in Yerushalayim and don't take advantage of such an experience. Like I told you last time, I hold there's two types of people in the world. The people who met Rav Asher Ely and the people who didn't meet Rav Asher Ely, right? If you haven't met Rav Asher Ely, you know, you could learn Shar Anava of Orach HaTzadikim. You could learn it 5,000 times. But you have no idea what Anava is. Because when you see a Talmud Chacham who's integrated it into his personality and it's become him, right? That's a totally different story. And Ramo Shapiro was the epitome of Amkus HaTera, right? Amkus HaTera and Malchus and dignity and glory and splendor. When you would speak to him, it was like speaking to a king. It was such an incredible experience. In any event, I leave you with those words, and I really give you a bracha. I got a phone call this week from Dovi Pfeffer. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And he said, you know, maybe you'll take me to one of the Gedolim. And I said, you know, I'd like to. I was trying to get into Gershon Edelstein, because I really feel in this generation that he is something really, really special, trying to get a kesher with him. So if I'm successful to do that, I have to get to B'nai Brak. Maybe a couple of us will go together, whoever wants to take us up on this. And there are other Gedolim here in Yerushalayim. It's really worthwhile. And especially if you have something which is really, like in my situation, where I had these difficult nisyonos, and the Gadol took my life, and he looked at it like a shiloh, you know. Now, when you have a shiloh in bas b'chalav, if some milk falls into your cholent, okay, you check, is it bat b'shishim? Is it, was it milk? Was it not milk? You know, was it hot? All different questions that rabbis ask when you have a shiloh. Okay, so those are straightforward in books, right? But a shiloh like, what should I do with my life? Or what do I do about this? Or how do I fix this midah? Or, you know, should I marry this woman or not? These type of questions. Yeah. So these type of questions, only a gadol, a real gadol, can answer them, because it doesn't say them anywhere in Svarim. Right? A person who learns Torah properly, Hashem opens up their eyes to understand. I remember where Moshe Shapiro once said a shir about Eitzah. He said, Eitzah comes from a very deep place. A person who is zoiche, who merits to get to that place, he can offer Eitzah. And it's like coming from the deepest. You have to open up the deepest chambers of your heart and get very deep. And if you do that, then Eitzah comes out. So I offer everyone a bracha and also just like Dovi called me up. He has my phone number, Bezrat Hashem. They're Gedolim here in Yerushalayim and in Eretz Yisrael. And think of something which is really important to you to ask them. And Bezrat Hashem, try to get a kesher with them because it'll change your entire life. And it puts you in a totally different place. If you have a relationship with a gadol, you're in a totally different place. It lifts you up, you know. Because this is what Rav Yisrael Salanter said. He said, if I wanted to be Rav Yisrael Salanter, I'd get nowhere. I wanted to be Rav Akiva Eger, So I got to be Rav Yisroel Slanter. If you see someone like Rav David Koyen, you know, and Rav David Koyen, I'm learning now on Fridays, I have a chavrusa learning Shir HaShirim with the Gra. I mean, it's just, or you learn in Svarim on Gemara. Like, it's just phenomenal. It's just, he's like, he just blows everything else away. You see someone like that, and you get a kesher with him, and then you can ask your questions on life, just like he can tell you a pshat in a Rajman Bava Kama, he can tell you a pshat in your life. You know, what should I do with my life? How should I run my life? How should I make this decision? And that's something very, very unique that I don't think there's anywhere else that you could get that. So, Bezrat Hashem, we should be zoiche to miskasha to these Talmid Chachamim.